Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Last week, I began a message from Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, entitled Our Liberty in Christ. And this today will be part 2 of that message, and it'll be the conclusion also concerning our liberty. And as I said last week, I love to talk about our liberty in Christ. This is where the Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And I explained how that liberty has two aspects. The first is the legal aspect, which Christ alone, as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of all the people whom God has given him, all God's elect, all sinners saved by grace, which he accomplished by himself. He purged our sins by his blood on the cross so that they cannot be condemned. They cannot be charged with sin. God will not impute sin to his chosen people. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 that who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. He imputes righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, the entire merit, value, and worthiness of Christ's obedience unto death as their surety, their substitute, and their redeemer. And so they cannot be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then we talked about the second aspect of that liberty, which is spiritual liberty. And that's when God's chosen people are brought personally into the kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, by God-given faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. That's the spiritual aspect. That's where we come from being servants of sin, unbelievers, in bondage of legalism and works and conditional salvation, and brought into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be servants of righteousness. That's to be those who follow Christ, who is our righteousness. It is to strive to be like him, not in order to be saved, but because we already are. And I mentioned this too, that this liberty now, it's the liberty of grace. It didn't come about because of what I've done or tried to do or decided to do. Christ hath made us free. That's the issue. It's all the work of Christ, and even the new birth is not my work, it's his work in me. That's God's work. It's a powerful work. It's an invincible work. Dead men, dead women, cannot make themselves alive. And that's what the new birth is. It's a spiritually dead sinner being quickened, made alive by God through Christ, who is our life, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a sovereign, invincible work of grace, powerful. And so those who are in unbelief cannot bring themselves to faith. If left to ourselves, we would remain as servants of sin in the darkness of unbelief. But God has brought us out from under that bondage if we're truly saved. So Paul says, stand fast in that liberty. Well, he goes on in this passage to show some implications of bondage. Now let's read verse 1 again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Legalism. What is legalism? What is this yoke of bondage? It's the idea that people have naturally that they can be saved, they can be righteous, they can be accepted with God, they can create a right relationship with God by something they do. or something they decide in obedience to the law. Works salvation. Conditional salvation. You see, the gospel tells us that God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people to save and conditioned all of their salvation on Christ as their representative, as their surety, their sins imputed to Him, His righteousness imputed to them, as their substitute. In other words, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain, that was the purpose. And that's why Christ had to come and die on the cross to do what He promised to do in the covenant of grace. And God conditioned all of our salvation on Christ, and Christ came in time, became incarnate, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, God manifest in the flesh, to save His people from their sins by His death on the cross. He died for His sheep. The Good Shepherd giveth His... His death was not just a token of love. It was the accomplishment of God's love in the obedience unto death that brought about satisfaction to God's justice in the place of His people. That's why it's called a propitiation, a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction. He paid the debt in full, the sin debt of His people. And by that, He redeemed them. He secured their eternal salvation and every blessing of glory and grace unto the end. There's no possibility. Listen, if you know this liberty and you're not in that bondage, you know this, that there is absolutely no possibility for any person for whom Christ died on that cross could ever perish. That's right. Christ did not die for those who perish. They're in bondage. But He set free His people. He set free the captives. But now, as I said last week, in the churches in the area called Asia Minor, Galatia, false Jewish professors had crept in bringing in the law. They said they were saved by grace. They said they believed in Christ. But they added the works of the law as far as attaining or maintaining salvation. It's like people today who claim that a person can be saved one day and then lost the next. What they're saying is, they're saying you're saved by grace, but you're kept by your works, by your life, by your obedience, by your believing. And that's legalism. That's a false gospel. That's bondage. Well, these false preachers were preaching circumcision, keeping of days, things like that. And so they came into the Gentile churches and they said, yes, you're saved, but you're not righteous yet. You're not qualified yet. You've got to be circumcised in order to maintain this thing, in order to be more holy, holier, in order to be more righteous. And Paul said, that's a yoke of bondage. Don't bow to that. Don't listen to them. In fact, in Galatians 1, he said, it's another gospel. Another of a different kind, which is not a gospel at all, he said. And let them be anathema. He said, all they want to do is mutilate you. That's what the words he uses. And he says, no, you stand firm. Don't bend an inch. Be dogmatic. I know people don't like that word today, but I like it. Be dogmatic in the truth. Don't be dogmatic in a lie. And here's what he says. Here's the implications of that bondage. Now listen to this. This is verse 2, Galatians 5. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That's how serious this is. Now, what is he talking about? You know, people go crazy with stuff like this. He's not talking about just being physically circumcised as far as people who have gone through that. He's saying, if you think that circumcision recommends you unto God and you're circumcised because of that, then your claim to be believing Christ will profit you nothing. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 2, Paul made this statement in verse 21. Listen to this. He said, I do not frustrate or make void the grace of God. Now here's what's happening. Now you need to understand this. These false preachers claim to believe salvation by grace. It's like people today. Everybody says salvation is by grace. There are people who say, well, I believe salvation by grace, but you've got to do your part in order to make it secure. They'll say, well, Christ, God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody, but it'll do you no good until you make your decision or you believe. Some say until you're baptized, all of that. Well, what they're doing is they claim to believe the grace of God, but they make it void. They deny what they're claiming. And here's what Paul says. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, that is by your obedience to the law in any way, shape, form, or fashion, to any degree, at any time, in any way, then Christ is dead in vain. Do you realize that if you believe that salvation is conditioned on you, on your believing, on your repenting, on your baptizing, or anything like that, you're actually saying Christ died in vain for nothing, because he died to accomplish all that. Now, does that mean we don't have to believe? No, we will believe. If he died for me, I'll believe. We talked about that last week. The liberty has to do with that legal liberty. Christ took care of that on the cross. And then that spiritual liberty, that's the new birth. That's the Holy Spirit coming under the preaching of the gospel and bringing his people to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. They will repent. They will believe. It's inevitable. And that's necessary, not as meeting a condition to attain or maintain salvation. That's Christ's work. But as the evidence and the fruit of his grace. But if you be circumcised in thinking that it's going to make you righteous, then you're denying Christ to be your righteousness. Christ died in vain, and he'll profit you nothing. Look at verse 3. Now, this is back at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is circumcised for that reason, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Now, whatever you can put anything in the place of circumcision, anything the sinner does or anything the sinner is unable to do, if you think that it recommends you unto God or makes you more holier or more righteous, then, my friend, you're a debtor to do the whole law. You're under the law. You're under the law. You're under the works of the law. And I quoted this last week, Galatians 3:10. They that are of the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law. In other words, if you have to do one, you have to do it all. You're a debtor. But now, what did Christ do on the cross for his people? He paid our debt in full. We're not debtors to the law. Over in Romans 6, he says, you're not under the law, you're under grace. You're not a debtor to the law. You're a debtor to grace. That's a debt of love, not a legal debt. And then we'll spend our eternity loving God in that way. So he says, Christ will profit you nothing. You're a debtor to the whole law. And look at verse 4. This is Galatians 5 and verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified. Now that is, what is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins. It's to be declared righteous in God's sight. So this is the issue. How is a sinner justified before God? All right. If you think circumcision contributes to that, if you think your believing contributes to that, your repenting, your baptism contributes to that, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now, what is it to be fallen from grace? Well, there's a lot of people say, well, that means you've lost your salvation. Oh, no. That means you never had it to begin with. And to be fallen from grace has to do with people who claim salvation by grace, but who deny it with other ways. Like these false preachers here. They claim to be Christians. They claim to believe in Christ. They claim that Christ was their salvation. They claim to be people of grace. But, they said, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do this. You've got to stop doing that. And in doing that, they didn't realize it, but they're denying what they claim to believe. And that's what it means to be fallen from grace. Well, look at verse 5. Now, listen to what he says here. He says, "For we through the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit. Now, whatever he's talking about here, it's the Spirit's work in a person. It's not that person's work of his own free will or decision or goodness. "But we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now, what is it to wait for the hope of righteousness? Well, hope is the certain expectation that when I appear before God, I'll be declared righteous in God's sight, not because of my works, not because of anything I've done or decided, but by faith. And what is it to have righteousness by faith? Romans chapter 9 tells us plainly, it's to look to Christ for all righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. He is the Lord my righteousness. I have no righteousness but Him. And that's what God has imputed to me. And He's given me life from the dead, faith to believe, repentance. And then he says in verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." That means nothing but faith, God-given faith, which looks to Christ now. You see, there's a lot of people who believe in their faith, not in Christ. They have faith in their faith. They believe they made the difference. Christ died for everybody, and I made the difference because I believe. That's not the gospel. Faith looks to Christ, rests in Christ, pleads Him as our righteousness. And so he says, "But faith which worketh," faith will result in obedience by love. Obedience by love. In other words, motivated not by bondage, not by fear of punishment, not by promise of earned reward. We're not forced slaves, the liberty, see, that we have in Christ. We're not forced slaves under a legal obligation and bondage to pay our debt to society, to pay our debt to God's justice. Christ already paid it. And we're not mercenaries in the army of God trying to earn our keep, earn our way into glory, earn our rewards. But we work by love, grace, gratitude, love. There's a wonderful picture of this back under the old covenant law, and it's called the law of the bond slave. You'll find it in, I believe, Exodus chapter 25. Read about it sometime. And what happened when a person back then, when they got in debt, and it was fearful that they would lose their part in the citizenry of Israel, their land, their belongings, they got in debt, and they couldn't pay their debt. So they would offer themselves as a bond, as a servant, a slave, to the one to whom they owed the debt, and they had to work, for example, 7 years to pay that debt. Well, at the end of the 7 years, they could go free. They were not under obligation of the law, and they could go free with their family. However, and it was like a job, you see. If they loved their master and they wanted to stay because of that love, they would become a bond servant, and the master would take, and he would take an awl and bore a hole in their ear. Usually they'd put a ring in that ear. And if you saw, and they became a willing, loving bondservant, if you saw a ring in that ear, you knew that that person was serving the master, not out of a legal debt, but out of love. And that's what those who are at liberty in Christ do. They're willing, they're not legal slaves forced to serve to pay their debt, but they're willing, loving bondservants of Christ. Paul, the apostle, often referred to himself as a bondservant. And that's why we serve God. We're not trying to earn our way into God's favor. We're not trying to avoid the punishment. We serve Him out of gratitude. "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so full and so free. That's why we serve. Well, if you look over at Galatians chapter 6, there's another statement here that describes this liberty that we have in Christ, believers have in Christ, sinners saved by grace, based upon the blood of Christ, based upon the righteousness of Christ. And it's what I call the believer's motto. It's in Galatians 6 and verse 14, or it begins there. And that's where Paul writes, this is Galatians 6, 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast." That word glory means to boast. It means to have confidence. It means to have assurance. And he's saying, God forbid that I should have confidence or boast or glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we talked about that legal bondage that Christ delivered his people from by his cross work by himself. And so that's a work done outside of us. And that's what we boast in. The work that's done within us by the Holy Spirit causes us to glory in the work that Christ did outside of us. And his cross here means it involves the doctrine of Christ, the glorious person of Christ, and the finished work of Christ, the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. I boast in Christ. He's my hope. He's my surety. He's my substitute. He's my redeemer. He's my intercessor. He's my Lord and King. He's my keeper. I can't even keep myself. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And what have I committed unto him? My whole salvation from beginning to culmination. I glory in Christ. I boast in Christ, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 6:14, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world's dead to me and I'm dead to the world. In other words, this has established the world and me to be enemies. The world, Christ told his disciples, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good courage. I've overcome the world. We're not of the world. We're those who are saved by grace. We're in the world and we have to deal with the world. We have to work in the world, but we're not of the world. The world is in bondage. The world is cursed. The world is a belief system that brings and keeps everybody in bondage, and we're free in Christ. And so they look upon me as being dead, cursed, and I look upon them as being cursed and dead. And then verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." Circumcision doesn't mean a thing as far as salvation, as far as a right relationship with God, as far as being forgiven, as far as being made righteous, as far as being saved. But a new creature, a new creation. Now the new creation is a born again believer, a regenerated sinner who's been liberated from condemnation by the blood of Christ, and who's been liberated from spiritual death and blindness and darkness and unbelief by Christ through the Spirit. And that's a new creation. Now verse 16 says, "And as many as walk according to this rule," this canon, that's a truth, a body of truth. Now what rule? "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them." They're at peace with God. Christ is the Prince of Peace. This is reconciliation. How is God reconciled to sinners and sinners reconciled to God? By the blood of the cross. By his righteousness. God made him to be sin. Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So they're at peace with God. And then he says, and mercy. God has shown compassion, mercy, towards them. Christ, who is the mercy seat. How do I know God's had mercy on me? It's not because of the things of this world. He may make me healthy and wealthy and wise in the things of this world, but that's no indication that He's had mercy upon me. But now, if I from the heart have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which causes me by the power of the Spirit to say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, then I know God's had mercy on me. And He said, upon the Israel of God. Now, who is the Israel of God? Well, you know about Israel, the nation. The name Israel means those who have prevailed with God. How does a sinner prevail with God? Through Christ. The Israel of God here that He's speaking of is spiritual Israel. It applies and describes those who walk by that rule, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are those who, back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, have been made free, liberated, justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, by what Christ did for them on the cross as their surety, substitute, redeemer. It refers to any person who has been brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, whether they be Jew or Gentile. They may not be physical Israelites, but they are spiritual Israelites. They are those whom God has brought into His spiritual kingdom. And they are free. They are liberated. They are justified. They are liberated. And they're to stand firm in that liberty wherewith Christ has made them free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get involved in this legalistic religion that makes men boast and glory in what they do or what they think God has enabled them to do, but glory in Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.